Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. In today's program, we are studying the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 18. Here's Pastor Ryan.
Today that are out there, they want to be famous. Like who? Like the Academy Award people and the Golden Globes and whatever else. They just want to be pretty and they want to be viewed as something. Our Lord was comely. He was average looking. He was battered for our sins and beaten. That's who we serve. And he says to this world, you need to let all of that junk go because Satan has dibs on all those things and his time is short and he is not only bewitching the lost, but quite frankly, he's bewitching so many in the church today. And you have guys saying to the real prophet, please agree with the culture. I have Calvary Chapel, very few guys say, you need to calm down. No, not that rude. It was more like, you can calm down. And it's like, get behind me. Because I'm going to tell people what's going on as the Lord leads me. And there's so much deception in every aspect of everything. And this chapter is spot on when it concerning that. And Micah said, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak. That's the attitude we want. Whatever my God says, that I will speak. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to buckle. I'm not afraid of you. I'm courageously in the spirit going to say whatever my God says on that particular subject. And God will test all of us in this room whether or not you will say something when the time of testing comes. God doesn't tempt us, but he tests us. He tests our faith and he'll bring a family member. He'll bring a friend who's super leftist or super liberal, super all about everything goes and it's cool as long as you're not hurting other people. That whole philosophy. And they'll come around you and you're having coffee and lunch with them or something. And the Lord's like, come on, help this person here. Are you afraid of them? You want to be their friend, huh? You want to be their friend more than you want to be my friend. And that's where he tests. And many a times we have had to say, no, that's wrong because the Lord says it's wrong. And my opinion really, frankly, doesn't matter. It's what does God say about what you're asking me or what you're talking? What do you think about that? What if they put a camera in your face and, you know, going to put you on the news and, you know, everyone's going to know what you think. Would you be afraid or would you tell them the truth about God? I know you would tell them the truth, but there are many that will not. Whatever my God says, that I will speak. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? And he said, go and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. Now, it's a prophet telling a fib here, right? What do you mean go out and you shall prosper? So Micaiah says the same thing they said. And the king said to him in verse 15, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the manner or truth in the name of the Lord? Then he said, then he goes on to tell him the truth. But why did he tell him, you know, what everybody else was saying? He probably had it up to here with their demonic worship and sexual immorality. And he's like, yes, do what they say. Go and be killed. Yes, good riddance, you know, kind of like Jonah, right? And just, you know, I don't want to go, you know. But anyhow, he tells them that, and then he begins to tell them the truth. So the king, in verse 16, then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his own house in peace. And so whatever's going to happen, the army and the Israelites will be scattered on the sheep. Scattered on the hills like sheep, having no master. Let them go home in peace. It's almost like the Lord is saying they have a wicked leader. It's better for them to not have a leader than to have a wicked leader. Let them go home in peace. Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he had compassion on the people, for they were like sheep having no shepherd. I believe that this is happening in our times right now, that there are sheep that belong to the Lord that are without shepherds. And it's because of the apostate church. It's because of woke pastors, celebrity pastors, scared pastors. And I believe that God will get them to churches that are speaking the truth, and they will be in peace because God loves his people, and he will get them to where the good pastures are eventually. That's just what I think is happening in the world today. You ask me, you want a prophecy update? I think that's happening. People are leaving churches. Look at how many left churches and ended up at Jack Hibbs Church. Why? Because he's speaking the truth. That's why. I pray for God's sheep to find their way to good shepherds. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11 through 13, I can't believe I'm not having you guys turn to your Bibles. You're just watching me. Let's turn there. John chapter 10. We'll finish up here. We're almost done. John chapter 10. Give me an amen once you're there. Verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. And as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And so it's a beautiful statement of the Lord, that he's the true shepherd because he gives them himself, his life for the sheep. They hear his voice. They know him. He's about truth. He's about righteousness. He's their shepherd. He's our shepherd. He said, but the hirelings don't care about the sheep. And so they don't own the sheep. They don't love the sheep. And so when a wolf comes, he flees and the sheep are scattered. These 400 prophets have no care for the king at all. They're telling him, go with this false, prophecy to go and fight, and you're going to have the victory. And so, but Micaiah is different here. I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return to his house in peace. Verse 17. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Right? The king said this. Did I not tell you, Jehoshaphat, that he would prophesy evil towards me? So the good that God speaks through this prophet is looked upon as evil by the king. The good that God speaks through his churches to the people of our country and in the world is looked upon as evil by our governor, by our president, by their cabinet. What we preach is considered evil. Preaching the good of God is considered evil to our government. Think about that, to this administration. It's the same thing going on. And that's why they're trying to censor. That's why they're trying to militarize the IRS and hire all these agents so that they can come after nonprofits, churches, and shut them down. Does that make sense? Then Micah said in verse 18, Micaiah, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? Now that's the word. That's God right there. Who's going to persuade him? Because his time is over. Now, that's a blessing for us that our lives are in the Lord's hand and he's got that power, right? And he loves us and he's for us. But to the wicked, is a fearful thing to have that conversation going on in heaven. And that's what's happening. Who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what manner? And so he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. And so here we have a very fascinating thing happening that happens in the throne room of the Lord. We know from the book of Job, you get that beautiful picture in Job chapter 1, where the sons of God came and they presented themselves before God, and Satan also came among them. And God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? And so we see that Satan, in God's sovereignty, he uses them and allows them to do things to test us, to test, to bring judgment, to do all kinds of things. Because God's sovereign and God can do that, and he's good. That doesn't mean that God initiates any evil. He does not. Let me make it clear. God does not initiate any evil, but sometimes he allows it to occur for his purposes. This demon who came up and said, hey, I'm gonna persuade them falsely, that's his idea. God is just allowing it so that it can bring the demise to a wicked man. Does that make sense? Yeah? All right. Therefore, verse 22, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you, Micaiah says. Look, you know, these prophets are speaking lies because the Lord is allowing them in order for you to be destroyed. I think of how many lies are there today. What, I mean, look at the world we're living in. What facet of our society are we not being manipulated in? Lied to. They say, don't get political, but you know, listen, most media is the Democrat Party. It's just an arm of it. That's what it is. That's what it is. Abortionists run it, who think the biggest problem in the world today is overpopulation and we need to downsize by killing people. I'm not a conspiracy theory. You can go back to John 10:10 and Jesus will tell you that the enemy came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's exactly what he's doing. And if you think that kings and presidents and prime ministers cannot be manipulated, just read our story. What's happening? You have King Ahab being lied to by deceiving spirits to get him to die. And there are many people. In fact, everyone who has not given their life to Jesus Christ, according to Scripture, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all deserve punishment and death, but Christ died to save us. The Bible says there's not one that's good, no, not one. That means that the world is ripe and ready for judgment, no matter how good we think people are. We think people are good because you may be judging them, I may be judging them by our standards. Of course they're good, because after all, they haven't killed anybody either. Pretty faithful to their spouses or whatever it may be. We have our own gauge to why people are good or bad, but that's not God's gauge. Jesus said, if you've ever lusted after a woman in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. He goes to the heart, the thought life. People are going to be judged not just their action, by their actions, but by their words and by their thoughts. There's no one that's clean. I believe kids who are not at the age of accountability, I believe they're all in. In as in up there. But everybody else, I don't care if they win the Nobel Peace Prize. In fact, nowadays, if you get that, it just proves that you're not a good person. But it doesn't matter how saintly they are. It's all, or appear to be, God knows the heart. And so, then Zedekiah, verse 23, the son of Kenaana went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, "Why? Which way did the spirit from the Lord go for me to speak to you?" And Micaiah said, "Indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into a inner chamber to hide." He gets smacked and then he says, "Oh, you're gonna know one day I was right." And there should be that kind of confidence that believers should have. We're so blessed by God, we're able to love our enemies because there's nothing they can take from you or I that God hasn't given or has given more to us. They can't take quicker than God is giving us. So that way, so every now and then you just got to get profit on them and say, yeah, one day you'll be sorry. like John the Baptist, you brood of vipers, who told you to flee from the wrath to come? Anyways. Then the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and return him to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and water of affliction and until I return in peace." Reminds me of John the Baptist in a dungeon. He reminds me of Peter in a dungeon. He reminds me of Paul in a dungeon. He reminds me of our Lord in a dungeon. Being a Christian isn't just sunshine and rainbows. There may be time where you and I have to do some time for the Lord. If he should tarry, I guarantee you, you might be hearing me from jail somehow. Collect call from Pastor Ryan, just broadcast it to. Anyways, that's where we're going, I think. The Lord should tarry. Then the king of Israel said, take him, bread of affliction. Verse 27, but Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. That's what he said before they took him away. Take him away. That's what he said. Take heed, all you people. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. Again, when people are in sin, there goes the discernment. They make more dumb mistakes and more dumb mistakes until they repent. Where's the discernment? Oh, you're going to be in a disguise in battle. I'm going to keep my royal robes on so that I can get killed, basically. And he's like, okay, sure. I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went into battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots who were with him, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel. And so it was when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, "It is the king of Israel." Therefore, they surrounded him to attack. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. And so the enemies, just like Ahab probably planned, said, "Oh, there's the king of Israel. Kill him." And then Jehoshaphat, by the mercy and by the grace of our loving God, had a moment of clarity and cried out to God. That's all God wants. He wants people, he wants us or whoever is in sin to have some clarity, some self-awareness. Quit with the Christianese and the flattery of God. God sees through flattery. Don't tell him how much you love him. Repent and give him your life. Give him your heart. Walk with him. And that's what he did. He cried out. And God spared him. Thank goodness. Verse 32, "For so it was when the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, 'Turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded.' The battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up on his chariot facing the Syrians until evening, and about the time of sunset, he died." So God is so sovereign that even though Ahab was told by Micaiah that he was going to die, he thought he can beat it by wearing a disguise. And some dude with the bow, probably backwards, shot it randomly. And that thing went zoo, 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 and it landed where it needed to land. Just like David with the Goliath. Boom. Pop. God's sovereign. He's awesome. There's no need to want to be with the world. There's no need to want their favor. You have all that you need in Christ. The Bible says that he who fears God will dwell in satisfaction. You don't need the things of the world no more. Let it go. Let it go. For all that is in the world is dying, is perishing. But he who abides, or he who trusts in the Lord, will abide forever. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that it would bear much fruit in our hearts and in our lives. And we just love you and thank you that it instructs us. We pray to be better Christians, Lord, that we would abide in you, Jesus, so that we would bear much fruit, lasting fruit, so that our Father in heaven is well pleased and glorified. And while all heads are bowed, there may be someone here, I don't know, Lord, who needs to get right with you, who's not walking with you, who's not giving their life to you. We pray that they would give their life tonight. Is there anybody here who wants to get right with God? You know that you've sinned. You know that you haven't given him your heart. And you're not sure whether or not you'll go to heaven if you died. If something were to, God forbid, happen, would you go to heaven tonight? Or would you go to hell? Hell is a real place. And it really is a heartbeat away. I'm not being sensational. That is the truth. Jesus Christ came to save us from hell. Is there anybody here who needs to get right? Anybody. We love you. He loves you. Don't go another day without making that commitment to Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here? Father, we thank you. We praise you. We ask your blessing as we go home. Give us good rest, Lord. And may we come back on Sunday refreshed and ready to see you do a work. We pray, Father, that this week you would draw new families to our church, that you would help your church be strong and healthy, and that we would be everything you want us to be. We are your bride. Help us to be holy as you are holy. In Jesus' name we pray, and together we say, amen.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.